At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
HelixSleep.com/Fightful changed my life before there even was a HelixSleep.com/Fightful. A few years ago, I needed a better night's sleep. I looked for the best mattress online, and I found Helix and their incredible reviews. I took their online quiz. It took me about 2 or 3 minutes, and I was matched up to their Dusk Lux model. I now have two of their mattresses in my home. It's phenomenal. If somebody comes over and sleeps at my house, I want them to have a wonderful Helix mattress. I wanted to invest in my sleep and the comfortability of others as well. And you can do that as well at helixsleep.com/Fightful. You'll take that quiz, get matched up to one of the many mattress options that they have that suits your needs, and it ships straight to your door. And if for some reason you don't like it after 100 nights, they'll come and get it for free. They're not going to make you pay to ship it back. They're going to make it easy for you. Incredible reviews. Flexible financing options are available. HelixSleep.com. Invest in your sleep. You will never regret it. Ideally, you spend 1/3 of your life in your bed anyway. You're going to want this. They've got an incredible warranty and tons of options for you. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. Sean Rossap here. It is November 27th, 2024. Happy Thanksgiving to all that celebrate. We've got, man, what all do we have this week? We've got AEW Dynamite, obviously. We got Survivor Series. I'll be at WrestleCade on Friday and Saturday. Hopefully, I'll see some of you there in North Carolina. Drop an interview with Steve Macklin on Thanksgiving for you guys. We got some UK news on Fightful Select for all of you who are over there not celebrating holidays. But we've got AEW Dynamite to talk about right now. Continental Classic heavy show tonight. Definitely, I mean, completely focused on that. And we got Alex Pawlowski here. You can see him on FightfulSelect.com quite often, including this Saturday after Survivor Series. Alex, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing very well. Continental Classic is a very special time for those of us in the SGS. Sour Grape Society is very, very, very much into the C2, as am I. There's a lot of new wrinkles this year that I found out about during the broadcast that have blown my entire bracketology out of the water, and I'm still learning how to react to that. So it's great. The thing that you always know is the matches are going to be fantastic, and they were tonight as well.
I see somebody in the chat asking what kind of Kentucky shirt I'm wearing. Oh, I'm glad you asked. I'm so glad
that's
asked.
OG stuff right
Listen,
there.
Listen, friend, that's what I legitimately seek out. This is a reproduction. This isn't like vintage, but I seek out vintage Looney Tunes shirts and sweatshirts pretty often at vintage stores. But leave a thumbs up on this video. Drop some emojis. Instead of fruit, let's see some turkeys. Let's see some hands. I don't know. They got stuffing emoji? Let me know.
I don't know.
Let me know.
I don't know.
What else do we have this week? Denise, Abandon Us. That's a thing.
Yeah,
that show is up now. Again, Steve Macklin interview tomorrow. Ethan Page next week. Both of those are up early access for FightfulSelect.com subscribers. And oh boy, did Fightful Select have a day yesterday. And I'm not even talking about the Penta news that dropped. I'm not talking about the Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy contract details today. We confirmed 1-year deal. Not talking about all the Raw and backstage news that we're talking about. Ricky Stark's deal, we found out he had actually requested they not pick up his option. And man, they picked it up. This was months and months and months ago, and they haven't used him since then. Now, I spoke at length on the hump today about what all has unfolded here, Alex, because I got phone call, phone call, phone call, phone call. These were not long extended conversations. I talked to everything involved in this. For minutes at a time as I'm discovering how this all unfolded. So his situation categorically different than Miro, who has creative issues with AEW, doesn't seem to want to lose. Different from Danhausen, who at least admitted when I reach out about the story. Yeah, I could see where they took issue with the fact that I said I couldn't work Saturdays for a while and then worked indies, but a family situation changed. And Penta and Phoenix, who AEW found out were negotiating with their competitors months before their deals. Ricky Starks, however, seemed to indicate rather politely that he didn't want his deal picked up. And then they picked it up and have not used him whatsoever. I got a big problem with that.
That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Doesn't make any sense to me. A year where you lose CM Punk about 14 months ago. You lose Kenny Omega for a year at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. You lose Sting in March. You lose Bryan Danielson in the fall. Why are you not using Ricky Starks? Well, GCW is using Ricky Starks, or they were using Ricky Starks. Yeah. Yeah. Popped up at a GCW show, had a phenomenal appearance there.
Yeah,
I loved it. It was in a mall setting, Alex, and they had him come in.
Riding the escalator down was just brilliant.
Listen, I mentioned this before. Louis Vuitton bag, like he made it tax deductible. I respect that. He was just happened to be there shopping in the mall.
Yes.
Phenomenal. So he goes there. He says he's been froze out. Fightful Select reports that night. He's backstage at AEW. First time in a long time. Mm-hmm. Cool, man. Well, you know, I hear he's doing an interview with Chris Van Vliet. I said, oh, shit, I better release that story about his contract then before he says it on Van Vliet. Well, he didn't. So worked myself into a shoot there. Yeah. But phenomenal interview with Chris Van Vliet. Says he wants to work. Doesn't know why he's not working. Isn't injured. And then later that night, Fightful Select gets the word from GCW. He is pulled from all upcoming appearances, which include two that were not yet announced. I spoke to somebody from AEW. They said, well, it's over what Effie said about Tony's father. I then informed that person representing AEW that Effie does not run that company.
No.
He is a talent there. And, of course, I call Effie. I go, what the hell did you say? He's like, it couldn't have been this one thing. And I'm like, that can't be it. What else did you say? That was it. It was because Effie was talking about the Hammerstein show and said, well, you know, GCW can't run at a $40 million deficit. Somebody said, yeah, you mean Brett's father doesn't own a football team? He said, no, Brett's father doesn't own a football team and Brett's father doesn't pay him to go away. AEW's line of thinking was, well, if you think that my father or his father or whoever's father is paying Tony to go away, we aren't going to pay a talent to work your show, which again, not Effie's show, it's GCW.
Right.
He's a talent there.
Yeah.
Unfortunate for a lot of people. I know I just spit all that out there, Alex, but I want your take on it because we haven't necessarily heard it. People have heard mine on the hump. Here's how I look at it as a person who knows everybody involved. AEW thought that people would be understanding of, well, Tony's father name was evoked. Some people see that as that. However, this makes Ricky Starks in more demand. It makes Effie a way bigger star, and it is possibly the biggest billboard GCW could have asked for their upcoming shows.
That doesn't make a lot of sense in any way. Just going back to, I would kindly request that you do not pick up my option.
Yeah,
and then they do, which is their right. That's the contract says we have an option to pay you more money to stick around for a longer period of time. So that is their option. They chose that option. But if you're doing that just to keep Ricky Starks from going to the competition and you have no plans to put them on television, isn't that what everybody got so pissed at WWE about when they did it with Mustafa Ali? Where he said, I'm requesting my release and they're not going to use me. I mean, they finally did after months, but Ricky Starks is a bona fide star and he's going to make tons of money for whatever company is smart enough to use him to the best of his abilities. So the way that you can ensure that at least for the time being, the other company isn't the one doing that is for you to do it. Is for you to figure out a way to, there's like, I don't understand why he's been gone for such a long time. There's no reason why I think the writing seemed to be on the wall last year in the C2. Andrade was not long for AEW. They put him in the C2. He had a great showing. won some matches, put over some guys, didn't make the finals of his group, and then was gone a couple of weeks later. You could do that for Ricky Starks. You could have him have great matches. I mean, not saying that's the only option, but at this point, after such a long time, when you say Sting left, did Sting like left right after they stopped using Ricky Starks? And the thing that we heard about, they were going to feud him versus Big Bill, and he didn't think it was good for him to beat Big Bill. And I'm like, okay, I suppose. But if that was the last part of creative that they gave him, and he shot that down one time, and they said, okay, that's it, we're not using you at all, we are going to continue to pay you to stay home, none of that makes any sense to me.
I will say with Andrade, that was a little bit different. He led them to believe he was staying and then was like, okay, I'm leaving. But okay, you know what else he did? He also put somebody over on the way out. Now, that person has not appeared on the show since.
True.
Which is another, again, issue. I think of all the things, and people swear up and down that we don't have criticisms of AEW, which clearly do not watch the show. My biggest criticism is that they park people for a very long time. Now, there are in some instances, like Awesome Kong got paid for a long time when she couldn't wrestle.
Right.
And that's wonderful. I'll say this as well. In talking to Brett Lauderdale last night, he mentioned something that Tony Khan did for a GCW talent that nobody knows about. It's not mine to put out there, but is so remarkably kind. And if you find out who the talent is, you'd be like, damn, that's even more surprising considering the history associated
right
there. And has done this for I cannot count how many people.
Right.
There was a talent recently who Tony found out was, quite frankly, I don't know how else to put it, was without home and made sure that they got a salary. Like, it was like, those are some of the things that you'll hear about regarding Tony Khan. Then there are some people, and it's like, okay, I understand him not wanting to let like Malachi Black go and walk right into WWE. You can't let somebody do that. But if you're not going to use Ricky Starks, why hold him there?
Yeah, if Ricky Starks seems to be willing to play ball, i.e., take considerably more losses than he would victories during his last year with the company, then I don't know why he's not on television. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's I don't know.
Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Use or send us a super chat or humper chat. Get your question or statement read on the air. This Saturday is Survivor Series. It's going to be interesting coverage, guys, because I'm going to be in WrestleCade. I'm going to be watching the show because of the early start time. Yeah. I might get to hop on the post show, which is a fantastic crew. Put Phil Lindsay on there because that man does numbers. He's been doing numbers. Either it's him or just WWE decides to do exciting stuff when Phil Lindsay is on the show. Mm-hmm. But we also have our Collision crew. Iridian, Cresta, Riccicino. Riccicino, one of the most professional guys in the business. Cresta, one of the most full of personality people in the business.
Oh, 100%.
We got Iridian, who is killing it, doing all kinds of media coverage. Had Tony Khan in studio this week. I'm going to try to join them. And then we got Alex and Kate behind the Fightful Select paywall. But we also have another familiar face coming back. We got James Lynch, who, man, Alex, he was there working with me and Alex years ago. He was doing MMA interviews, asking them pro wrestling related questions. He's from Vancouver. We probably could have asked Shaq as well, but you know, listen, sorry. Shaq's out here getting Paul Heyman interviews. He don't That's need true. Us.
Nah.
But James does some of my, honestly, James and Shaq do my favorite MMA content. James is going to do a video for us where he compares covering the biggest UFC events to covering one of the biggest WWE events. And now that they're under the TKO umbrella, he can kind of give a look at how that has evolved. I'm very excited for that. If you guys haven't checked it out, please do. I believe Rob Wilkins will be doing a pre-show as well, but Bako 5 says real Kentuckians know the phallic wildcat tongue. It's truly the best logo. Listen, Kentucky has some badass logos. This is not the phallic tongue. Oh, no. Yeah. I think I got one.
Is there?
You can't see it. You can't really see the tongue.
But, yeah.
Listen, man, it's a good time to be a Kentucky basketball fan again. I'm very excited.
Good.
N. Simmons says the situation makes TK look childish. I tried to convey that the audience probably would not understand it, and it fell. I don't think that they quite saw it that way. But listen, here's the way that I chalked it up. My best friend called me today, and I was like, you know what? We're about to work with Ibu on the post-Raw show. If I went and said something about Monty's, who he works with at WrestlePierce, his father, I would not expect him to be thrilled about that. Mm-hmm. And I would expect that to put Ibu in a very awkward position. So while we look at it and say, that's kind of lame, you look at it in relation to how it might affect you and you go, okay, well, that's a little bit different then. Definitely a little bit different. We've got, by the way, thank you to our great moderator, Luis, for helping us out here. He says, Tony could have unused talent to help the Jags. Listen, if he wants to put Miro on the offensive line for the Bengals, I would be.
Miro could probably suit up for the Jags at defensive tackle on Sunday with no other practice. Just
fair.
He'd do better than them.
That is very fair. Love for Boost says, I don't know if you saw my reply on Blue Sky. I watched Dynamite at work and a passerby yelled out, is that the Rizzler? Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Objectively, huge business is the Rizzler. And as I mentioned to you on your post show, Alex, if they don't put out a Paul White Rizzler hand-in-hand figure, what are we doing here?
I don't know what we're doing.
They ran a music video for that as we talk. I just want to tell you guys, Big Boom AJ's working. He was hurt before. I had that confirmed directly from the person he was in the ring with.
Yep.
He was hurt before, but he didn't tell anybody because he didn't want the match to get canceled. That's what a G this guy is. Mm-hmm. He said people bought tickets to see this.
Yes.
I'm not letting people down.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
And he went out and worked. If
somehow he caught his arm in a wheat thresher, he'd still go out there and have the match because he knows the people bought. That's what put the butts in the seats. Was Big Boom AJ, Big Justice, and the Rizzler. And listen, obviously the Paul White holding hands thing is great, but without even a joke, like a triple pack of Big Boom AJ, his kid, and the Rizzler, like you buy them all together and you charge like $69.99 for it, it's going to sell out everywhere it goes. You know what I mean? Like people would buy that.
A huge business for them.
Yeah.
I respect the way that they handled all that and promoted the hell out of it. Just incredible. We have Jambeard saying, any word on when Ty returns? We would love for her to return to help Anna against Deanna and Taya do a street fight tag match for World's End. I have noticed within wrestling, and wonderfully so, that companies, AEW, TNA, WWE, they do not rush people back from maternity leave. And I really respect that. Speaking of, Melissa, we're losing another one. Melissa, who's been with us for 7 years, starts her maternity leave next week for, and listen, these dirty Canadians, Alex, they get a year. She gets a year. A year to have that kid. We're so happy for her. We definitely thank her for everything that she's done for us. OG viewers of the Listen Ya Boy remember her and remember our skits. I've still got some that haven't aired. That I might want to release those before it looks like I'm having a wrestling match with a pregnant woman. But we definitely can't wait to have her back. Yeah. But I have not heard anything about Ty. I know that she has been she has trained here and there. But yeah, we've got I Am Crush NC says, love this episode. Continental Classics, my favorite time of year. No matter what, we're going to get kick-ass matches on TV. Thank you, Fightful. Also watch DPW World Strongest. I'll say this anytime anybody brings up Deadlock Pro. I love what they do. I think they are phenomenal. I think that they have cultivated a wonderful, wonderful audience, community, and environment. And originality is what they do. And I just have so much respect for that in a world of copycats. Those guys are originators. But we kicked off the show with the MVP promo, talked about how the Hurt Syndicate can change your life, all that. At some point, we got to see somebody willing to take them up on it, I feel like, right, because they've offered a lot and have not gotten any biters as of yet, Alex.
I kind of thought that we would get this at Full Gear. I thought maybe when they kicked Shelton Benjamin out for getting involved, I was like, oh, well, now there's not the numbers game. So Swerve feels like he's confident, and like having somebody, a surprise new member, maybe not a surprise because we probably would have seen him get the card. But if Leo Rush ended up coming out to, you know, hit a running drop kick or something on Swerve on the outside, rolled him back into the ring, dusted off his suit, and he's the new recruit. Other things that rhyme with oot. I mean, it's that would be a really awesome way to introduce that. And when they were talking, when they were doing this promo to start the show, I thought maybe when he was like, when we give you the card, we are inviting you to become big time. We are. And I was like, and we bring out somebody who's decided to take them up on that offer. And no, like this was incredibly well delivered by MVP, but there was no new information here. Like, it was just starting the show again with guys talking as opposed to with guys wrestling, which used to be the staple of AEW. Was always immediately when we would, it's Wednesday, you know what that means, and we would hear ding ding ding, the first opening contest is for one fall or whatever. You'd immediately get into the match. So this promo was fine, was really well done, but like there was nothing new here.
Yeah. Deonna is announced to face Catalina on the December 13th edition of CMLL. I'm not going to try to pronounce the show name, but people have been asking me, some women from like CMLL, AAA that I could see getting signed. Catalina is one of them because she got did dirty by WWE, brought up very, very early, brought to a country where she didn't speak the language, did everything she could. And I think she's doing very well outside of WWE. But speaking of doing well outside of WWE, Shelton Benjamin defeated Mark Briscoe. So I need to probably run down the Continental Classic lineup because we haven't done that on this show. It was just announced the other night, rather late at night. Real missed opportunity to put Shelton Benjamin in the Gold League. Don't know why they didn't do that. That seemed like a slam dunk.
Yeah.
But it's Shelton Benjamin, Mark Briscoe, who struggled last year, and I loved his explanation. Yeah. And it was such a heartbreaking one. He said, I am effectively in my rookie year as a singles competitor. And he wasn't, but still, it was very heartbreaking.
Yes.
Kyle Fletcher, who has emerged. Daniel Garcia, who is TNT champion. The Beast Mortos, who I just love throwing him in there. Mm-hmm. And Okada, who is perhaps the greatest round-robin tournament wrestler of all time.
Yes.
Gold League. Darby Allin, who has been discussed among that top title picture. Claudio, who again is a person who can excel in this type of thing. Mm-hmm. Brody King, who again I like and I especially like tonight, would have loved to have seen Buddy in this situation.
Yeah.
Will Ospreay, who is in a position, Alex, to where for the Fightful Awards, we're probably going to have a pre-vote for favorite Will Ospreay match before match of the year.
Yep.
Ricochet, and everybody's watching for that match. And Juice Robinson, who I think is a nice wild card here. Probably going to take some L's.
Probably 0-5, but they will all be very entertaining matches.
Exactly. How are you feeling about this field?
I don't know. Like it's like they're all gonna be great matches. So you're gonna look back on it and go, there was nothing to complain about, and there probably isn't. But to me, I felt like there should have been a hard and fast rule. If you were in it last year, you're not in it this year. And then you can be in it the next year. You know what I mean? Like,
especially if you're in the bottom half of it last year. Because all due respect, but like Claudio, Brody, Daniel Garcia, Mark Briscoe were all in the bottom half. Or I don't know. Maybe they had like a qualifier.
Yeah.
From
a qualifier would have been fine. But here, the other thing that I to me was interesting is that you had pretty good replacements for all of them among their own faction that could basically serve the same purpose. Buddy in for Brody. Buddy had that victory on the Zero Hour that the crowd was going nuts for. He's been getting momentum. People like Buddy. They want to see more of him. Put him in there instead of Brody. Claudio, well, you can replace him with Pac. Everyone would want to see Pac in that tournament. Are you kidding me? Versus Ospreay, versus Ricochet. Like, there's great stuff there. And then with Briscoe, who you said last year, his excuse was, I'm basically a rookie singles wrestler. He's not anymore. He was a damn ROH champion. But I feel like he's going to wind up with a similar record this year if you look at what the Blue League competition is to what he had last year. He probably beats Beast Mordos, and that's about it. Especially after tonight, since he lost to the other guy I thought he had a chance of beating. So maybe he doesn't need to be in there. You put in Kyle O'Reilly from the conflagration or whatever they call that. This thing is got a bunch of great guys in it. I don't see we need for all these repeats, especially, unfortunately, Daniel Garcia, who, if he was not the TNT champion from 2 days ago, I'd be all about him in it again, getting redemption, going all the way to finals, maybe winning it. But he just won the TNT championship. Focus on that for a bit.
That's what I would have liked to have seen tonight, was him be like, man, you know, even though I did win this title, I was promised a C2 spot if I didn't win the title as well. He's like, so I knew one way or another I was playing with house money here. I was going to be a winner anyway. But yeah, focus on that title. Because another one of my common criticisms of AEW is so many titles, so little use. And it's getting even worse on the WWE side. They added two women's mid-card titles that I hope prove effective. We'll see. But Shelton Benjamin, someone I'm very happy is in this.
That was my number one guy I wanted in the tournament, was Shelton.
Because I get to see him face Kyle Fletcher, Daniel Garcia, the Beast Mortos, and Okada. I'm very excited for the Okada one. Would love to see him face Ospreay, but hey, I get it. I'm all for that.
Here's the thing. The way they have now belatedly set up the semifinals, that's now a possibility. Because they did Selection Sunday, never mentioned this. They didn't put it, as far as I could see, never on social media leading up to tonight. During the first match of the tournament, they said, this is brand new and not what they did last year, that the runner-up of the Blue League will face the winner of the Gold League. And vice versa. Runner-up of the Gold League faces the winner of the Blue League, which is the way they do it in the G1. But it's not the way they did it last year in the C2, and it's a brand new thing. And so for people who obsess about who could possibly come out of each league, i.e. me, I had done all of my brain work since Sunday, and now I got to redo everything because now it's like, okay, well, if Ricochet comes in second, who does he face who wins the Blue League? All that stuff. Now I have to sit, lay awake in bed until 4 a.m. again tonight, trying to figure out, trying to prejudge who's going to get in the semifinals. And if you know my particular brand of OCD, that's just not fair to me, man.
Yes. Well, I think ultimately we're going to look at an Ospreay Okada final anyway.
Perhaps.
And probably
at least a semifinal. If Okada wins the blue and Ospreay second in the gold, they could have that be a semifinal.
Here's what I think. I think Ospreay is going to end up facing Fletcher in the semi.
Yeah.
And then Okada, as I look at things, that one's a little bit more hard to tell. Probably Ricochet. And then I think ultimately it is Ospreay and Okada. And I think Shelton probably beats Beast Mortos and then loses to Fletcher Garcia Okada. Uh-huh. Garcia versus Fletcher is a fascinating one. That one's really fascinating. I don't know who's going to win that. Right. I could see Okada winning every single damn match on there.
I really like the idea of Okada winning out, but then now being toppled in the finals.
Yeah, that I could see a
cool thing.
I could see Mortos losing all of his as I look over in the Gold League. Yeah, I think we're heading towards Ospreay, but I mean Claudio is probably going to be really protected as well.
Yes, so, he will.
My God, Shelton beats Mark Briscoe. You know it's a good match. Listen, I am just loving seeing this out of Shelton, man. Like I watched Main Event, but it's still what he wasn't able to do what he's doing now, and I don't know. He's my favorite wrestler of all time, and I'm just sitting here like, man, I just watched like so many years. I don't want to say get wasted, but so many years that could have had really great stuff with him. But Jambeard says the crossover semis mean we get Ospreay versus Kyle again with the title shot on the line. That's what I expect to happen. And then Ospreay to get back his win in that. Well, we had Mercedes come out and pretty quickly blamed Camille, who then quoted Mercedes. She's like, shut up. Are you deaf or are you dumb or something like that?
Dumb. Are you stupid or are you just dumb?
Are you stupid or are you just dumb? Which, there you go. And then she quits before Mercedes can fire her and marches off. I saw a lot of people acting like this was pointless. Well, if nothing emerges from it, it's pointless. But the show, like, this isn't the series finale or anything. Like,
no.
They're going to do more episodes of AEW Dynamite, I believe. Mm-hmm. They signed a new TV deal. It's not over yet.
Yeah. I think that they've certainly done the work to get to this point where it feels like it is true for the character of Camille to quit, to stand up to Mercedes. If you told me the night that that Mercedes debuted Camille as her bodyguard, how long do you think this is going to last? It would have been a lot longer than this. I thought they were gonna string this out for a while before they started planting seeds of dissent. So I am now, because they have done this, there's probably the inevitable Camille versus Mercedes thing out of this, I'm almost certainly. But then what do you do with Camille? Now, we've seen tonight they're doing a really good job of people can stand up to other heels without being baby faces themselves. So I don't know how you're going to present Camille in relation to everyone else on the roster, but certainly she doesn't have to take any crap from Mercedes if she doesn't want to. That's fine. So I'm interested in seeing what they do with Camille as a character and also in ring after this change.
We had the ROH World Championship, Chris Jericho versus Tomohiro Ishii. Listen, man, I just didn't care. I just didn't care.
It just felt so damn long. Like, was it the longest match on the night? Like, it felt like it just felt like it dragged and dragged and dragged. Because also, putting it here at this particular point in the show, Ishii probably wasn't going to win anyway.
It was a 13-minute match.
It felt like 17, 18 minutes. Like,
it was the longest match on the show.
Wow.
Every match went over 9 minutes tonight, so there was a lot of stuff that got time. But
yeah.
This
Yeah.
It's just the Jericho thing isn't for me. It's not for me, him with the ROH thing. And when I started to watch Japanese wrestling, Ishii actually wasn't for me. Like I wasn't as big of a fan of trade strikes and not sell them and stuff like that. It wasn't for me. And then he became a taste that I rather enjoy. I liked Tomohiro Ishii, and I'm glad that he's over here. I wouldn't mind seeing him in you know, trios action, as we do, you know, with I liked Conglomeration versus Dark Order last week. But I don't know. This didn't hit for me, and I loved the segment last week. It was so funny. It was so good. But it wasn't enough to make me go, yeah, I needed to see this. And I don't know who Jericho's facing at Final Battle.
Yeah, but like they I mean, you got 3 weeks to figure that out.
Which they're going to be there for 3 days, so he better be on Final Battle if they're putting the title on him.
Come on. So, I mean, the person that it should be, and they did not, unfortunately, I thought that maybe with Big Bill on commentary.
He was funny.
He was funny. I thought maybe they were going to start planting something that would get me very quickly to Big Bill realizes that he doesn't need Chris Jericho. And he could be the one, hopefully soon-ish, to take the title off. Big Bill is ROH champ is all kinds of great to me, but I don't know that they're going to go that route. But I would love to see Big Bill beat Jericho for that title.
You know who Big Bill reminded me of on commentary? Do you remember Chip from Talladega Nights, the old man?
It's been a long time since I've seen Talladega.
What quote did he have? What was it? He had some weird quote towards Ricky Bobby. And I just remember Cal Naughton Jr.'s character went, "Pretty creepy, right?" And that's how Big Bill is talking throughout this whole thing, giving life lessons. If anybody can remember the quote, drives me. Oh, it says, he went, "The field mouse is fast, but the owl sees at night." That's what we were getting out of Big Bill.
That was
commentary.
Yes. Yeah.
Was through the whole thing. We have a Swerve interview, and then Max Caster walks by and just like giggles, and Swerve's like, "No, what did you say?" And Max Caster makes jokes about his house burning down, and then Swerve beats the shit out of him. Just threw him, punched him, and kicked him in. I sure as hell am, Chip. I love it. He kicked Max Caster in the head.
He kicked Max Caster's ass.
The greatest wrestler alive thing. I'm just like, why? But
like you're in the same company as Ospreay, so I mean, like, just whatever. You're co-.
But like it's also like
it.
It's like calling somebody Big Ed, but they're 5'10", so they're not short enough. It's like, he's an okay wrestler. Like, he's not a terrible wrestler.
No, he's not a terrible wrestler.
So it's not like...
But he's middle of the road.
Yeah, but it's not like Jenna Maraska calling herself the greatest wrestler alive. He's fine. Like, I'm not sitting here and say that Max Caster sucks as a wrestler, because I think that'd be disingenuous. But... Right. It is like a 5'9" person calling themselves Big Ed or Big Al. Yeah. And it's like, you are neither big enough to call yourself that nor small enough for it to be ironic.
The ironic thing of calling the 6'5", 400-pound dude tiny.
Yes.
Right?
Tiny Lister.
But if the guy was actually 5'2" and you called him tiny, two on the nose. But if a guy is like 5'10", 200 pounds, and you call him tiny, it doesn't really make a lot
of
sense.
Doesn't work
either way. So, no, this was great. I liked seeing Swerve beat him up. I certainly thought coming out of Full Gear that we would not stop off in the land of Caster getting beatdowns from Swerve Strickland. I thought we were just express direct to Bowens versus Caster. I don't know why we got to do a pit stop here. I'm glad we're doing it, but in the context of what we were presented with at Full Gear, it sure seemed like that breakup was ready to pop off then. We didn't. So here's a new thing. Now, also, Swerve still feuding with the Hurt Syndicate, and also Caster carrying around the card in his pocket makes me worry greatly that somehow this all leads to Caster joining the Hurt Syndicate, which I do not need in any way. So We'll see.
I'd like to believe if Will Washington is still behind the Hurt Syndicate stuff that won't happen, but maybe I have too much faith in him.
Yeah.
Jam Beard says Caster getting beaten down, greatest AEW segment. Jay Holler says Caster getting beaten up, that's it, huge pop. Anonymous says I audibly groaned when I saw Caster showed up on screen, then realized Swerve's going to murder him, and I smiled. Fletcher promo was great. Need to see him win the C2. And Eric says happy holidays to everyone at Fightful. Hope everyone is well. So stoked the matches were good. Crowd was so, which will never stop making me crazy. I think that will change in the new year with the more intimate environments. He says, hey, Caster, calling himself the best wrestler as I do the learning tree. Eric says, you guys hate the Max Cole storyline as much as I do. Actually, that one is supposed to go to something else.
There you go.
Luis!
There's too many Maxes. And there's also a Mox. So people could easily typo things and you might think it's Mox, but it's actually Max.
Nah,
but
Luis. Max? Luis, I hope you have a terrible Thanksgiving. But let's talk about that segment. If he would put that super chat back where it belongs, Luis, put it back where it belongs. Hate it. Hate it all. Hate another talking segment out of the Undisputed Elite Era Kingdom guys.
Like, and now we got it. Now we're back.
You know, it's all about the boom. Listen, I'm sorry, buddy. A new boom is in town, and you're not it, Adam Cole.
Right. No, it's true. It's, yeah.
You got to cut that shit out.
Yeah.
You got to cut that shit out. It is no longer okay. Yeah. It ain't yours anymore, Adam Cole. He took that. Yeah. Now, you know, he's out there saying, Max, fight me, but you won't, you coward. And Kyle's like, this happened because you fought Max, even though he didn't fight Max. Like,
no, he wanted to.
He wanted to fight Max. And he's like, right. Now let me do it. And I'm like,
No. But like, no, what you told me last week, I took to heart. You're right. I've been letting my friends fight my battles for me, and that's over. He's like, I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this as retribution for what happened to Roddy Strong, who got his arm pilgrimized because it's Thanksgiving week.
It's
pilgrimized. So this, I don't know. I don't know. But then he comes up on the thing and he's playing piano and he does the thing that I can't fight either one of you because there's the Dynamite dozen battle royal for the diamond ring again. And they're like, well, we are going to be in that battle royal and we will fight you during the battle royal. And I'm fine. Just let Max keep the diamond ring. Just let him keep it. I don't need to fight over it anymore. It's a thing he can keep.
Eric says, you guys hate the Max Cole storyline as much as I do. Feel like both are losing a lot of pop because of it. Starting to feel the same with Mox and the crew too. Losing interest fast, and I'm tired of it feeling like the norm lately. Max not being there definitely doesn't help. I'm definitely over those style of videos now. Although what I will say is I respect the fact that he is insistent to remain on screen. Like,
yes.
I'm sitting there watching The Rock show up at Bad Blood, and I don't think he's going to be at Mania. And I'm like, why didn't they just film shit there? Film anything there.
Yeah.
Film him while you got him. Do something.
Have him bring four different shirts and film things. And film things so they're supposed to take place weeks apart from each other to build to something maybe at some point. But yeah, I respect Max wanting to like stay on screen and keep the storyline going. The problem is that him not being there at all kind of is killing the storyline at all, and we kind of don't want it to keep going. I would be much more interested somehow. I don't know, because I saw so much of this during the last 6 months of NXT before NXT 2.0 started. I would be somehow interested in more of Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly than I am Adam Cole versus MJF.
I just don't want this to become the Cody verse, man. I don't.
No.
Daniel Zambrano says Caster calling himself that when he's not even the best guy in his tag team is great. Heel work. The Ishii match with Jericho is hard hitting and great, but I didn't care at all. It's not even one of those things where I go, oh, that damn Max Caster. I'm just like, oh, that Max Caster. Which maybe that's what he's going for. Maybe, yes. You know, that reaction to him is better than no reaction, because it is clear that Max Caster views things as, if I get a reaction, it's positive no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Hangman promo. Something I really didn't like about this, Alex. They ask him, why did you come out at the end? Mm-hmm. Now, I rather like how they set up the apparent four-way for the title. I loved it. But I feel like Hangman could have had a much different approach to it. Because what Hangman said was, I made a deal and Christian couldn't keep his end of it. But as I'm watching it, like, it didn't look like they had a deal established.
No.
Until they were in the ring and Christian said to him, you'll get the first shot. Now, what I love is that the millisecond Christian said that, Hangman went.
He's like, okay, that's cool. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
Now, what I would have done, Alex, I would have had Hangman come out and say, I am watching John Moxley and his people tear apart something that I loved and I helped create and that I have a lot to do with. But he's full of shit, Alex. Right. He didn't give a shit. He didn't. He's selfish. And Switchblade would come out and say, you don't give a shit about that.
Right. Yeah.
You're a piece of trash. And how do I know that? Because I'm a piece of trash. And I've said and done this exact same thing a number of times. And then Hangman gets to him and he's just like, then you could say, yes, and I knew that Christian would pick the bones. At least you could say that. But to say that they already had a deal set when it seemed pretty evident when they got in the ring that they didn't, I was just like, really?
Yeah, no, they didn't have – it feels like this is a thing that they realize how weird the end of Full Gear came off. And so they wrote something after the fact and tried to justify a lot of the plot holes. Which I respect them trying to figure out a way to like make it work. I just don't think it. I don't think you can make that particular thing work because of the specific little beats. Him walking down with the chair and conking Weider Yuta on the head with it, but then not immediately going after Moxley, to me made me think like, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Who are you actually in league with? Christian took longer than I think he was supposed to get to the ring. Grabbing on the clipboard thing took too long. The Jay White getting involved, all of that kind of just messed a lot of stuff up. So the one thing I did love about it now is that Hangman Page is as big a heel as you can find in this company still, and will be for the foreseeable future. But also, so is Moxley. But the thing that makes Hangman and Moxley, they're not friends at all. They don't like each other one bit. But the thing that they both want is that title. One guy's wanted to keep it. One guy wants to get it back. So does Jay White. Also, Mox has a bunch of dudes who like to do his dirty work for him. And so they're coming in. They're trying to take out Jay White, who's a babyface. And they're trying to take out Hangman's knee, who's a dastardly heel. I love when you get multi-man matches. And it is very distinct. These guys are on this side. This guy's on this side. This guy's on this side. None of them are friends. None of them subscribe to traditional, really, babyface and heel things. Because Jay White is getting cheered. But Jay White has never really been a babyface. He's the Switchblade. You know what I mean? He's out for himself and his boys. And if the crowd wants to cheer for that, then so be it. There's a lot of really good stuff here. I love them doing what they did. I love Marina Shafir coming in with that chokehold and hitting people with a briefcase. This was a lot of fun. I'm willing to forgive a lot of the stuff from Full Gear if this kind of energy maintains through World's End.
Yeah, and the threat of Switchblade doing that to Marina is like, oh, snap. And
yeah.
It's like we saw in the Hangman match, he didn't have any hesitation with Blade Runner than he did here, and it cost him. Mm-hmm. Frank says, I really like that TK implanted some story tonight in the C2 that Jay White set was really good. Yeah, it ended up being a segment I liked. It was just that first comment that I didn't. Jambeard says, I know it's apparently going to be a four-way. What they should do is sell it as a three-way at the pay-per-view. Christian comes out mid-match while everyone is down.
Yeah.
And Bang Bang Gang and the writers have been tossed out. I don't know how they'll get there, but like, I would like to see. Go ahead.
I don't think Christian should be allowed to be booked into the match without giving up the contract that allows him to basically be, use it as a money in the bank. Why would he willingly give that up? So
he's won one one-on-one match since he lost his world title match in May.
Okay, well, that's bad.
Yes, he beat Jay White last month. He won the ladder match, but other than that, why? Yeah. Well, I know what your why can be. NordVPN.
Oftentimes we talk about NordVPN.com/Fightful, and I'm telling you about one or two different features that they have. How about this? I'm going to tell you about a bunch of them. Threat protection, global server network, safe from disruptions with their kill switch feature. They have reliable encryption. They have the fastest VPN on the planet. A 30-day money-back guarantee. Great deals at all times. Incredible reviews online from some of the best publications in the world. And 24/7 support in case you don't know what you're doing or how to use it. They got you covered. Shield your data from snoops and criminals. Protect yourself on public Wi-Fi. Secure every device you own. Add extra layers of security to your digital life with NordVPN.com/Fightful. If you're abroad, listen to your favorites. I know a lot of wrestling fans have been traveling a lot more with big events. NordVPN.com/Fightful will protect you.
A lot of people questioning where libraries, video libraries will be, what things will happen, all that, where you can watch stuff. Just get NordVPN.com/Fightful, change your virtual location. You'll have access to virtually everything once you do that, or at least the ability to have access to everything. Claudio defeated Ricochet. This is the type of Continental Classic match you come to expect. This is why you do it. This is definitely appealing to the base of AEW that in 2019 felt like enough stuff like this wasn't happening, Alex.
Yeah, this was great. And then I didn't really care for the finish. Same. After all that, crotching him on the barricade and Ricochet barely making it in to beat the 10 count, and then just like a regular hot tag ass clothesline finishes it. Like there's a Rico La Bomb or like any, like have Ricochet run in and him attempt the thing, but Ricochet says, no, I got my win back, and he runs in and does one of those springboard things. Boom, European uppercut, knock his head off, and then pin him. Like the clothesline thing just didn't really hit for me. I think that there's, maybe they're trying to do like, well, basically Claudio can finish you with anything. He's incredibly dangerous, and I get that part. But there were, the rest of the match was so spectacular, that finish kind of like...
Yeah. Gotta agree with you there. Kylie the Gamer Princess says, hope you all have a great holiday. Much love. Much love to you as well.
Yeah,
much love to you as well. Kyle Fletcher interview. He just brags about beating Ospreay and promised to win the C2. I liked this, though. There's a whole lot of people that you probably didn't watch New Japan that didn't realize this guy could talk before he came here.
Right.
But he's been a good promo for a long time. Yeah. So you definitely want stuff like this. Renee sits down with Mina Shirakawa, and Mariah pops up and cracks her in the back of the head with a champagne bottle. I got to say, some great champagne bottle spots in this feud already.
Good stuff.
And I believe it was Shaza that was saying, like, you guys do not understand the accuracy of that in heels to land that kick. Then they had the spear spot that could have went a little bit better, but ended up being perfectly fine to me. The last 5-6 days are the best parts of Mariah May's title reign so far, in my opinion.
Yeah. This is good. Them, you know, already saying, okay, this is happening at Winter is Coming. There's a lot of really good stuff that they have scheduled for that. I think that this will be very good for her. I wonder, you have Mercedes and you have Mariah, and Mariah is holding the world women's title. If they only have one of the two of them defend at World's End, that will be three pay-per-views in a row where only one of those titles is defended.
Yeah.
You gotta, like, I thought we were gonna get Mina versus Mariah at World's End, but we're doing it 2 weeks or 3 weeks earlier or whatever it is. And I just hope that we figure out a way to get them both a title defense on that show, because it's I don't think we can keep that going for this long. You gotta get both women's titles on every pay-per-view. You really do.
We have the International Women's Cup qualifier. Jamie Hayter defeated Queen Aminata. I just love that they're doing this Women's World Cup. Like, it is, you know, for, how do I say this? For everybody that, you know, has been asking for a women's C2, you do have a women's Owen tournament. You do have men's Owen tournament. I feel like if we went round robin right now, it compromises an awful lot of their show this year, but this integrates all their partners. It integrates Ring of Honor, which I think is very important. Athena needs to go to the Tokyo Dome for sure.
Right.
And I just love that they're doing this. It is something different that hasn't been done by the men. And I like that. I like that instead of a women's C2, we're getting something completely different for the women.
Right.
That's what I'm liking about this, Alex. Jamie wins, and Eric says, on a lighter note, love the Queen of Darkness is almost back. Really love Jamie Hayter too. She's a badass. This should be a good feud between them. When doesn't Darby Brody deliver? Good God, man. Mox and crew should not fear Darby, in my opinion. I don't think they fear Darby. I think they fear what he might do, but we'll talk more about that part later. Jamie Hayter defeats Queen Aminata. We got the Julia Hart tease. What I like about this is it will make sense as to why Jamie Hayter won't be in the title picture, because she started to declare for it. Julia interrupts her. Mm-hmm. I think Julia is going to beat her when the time comes.
Yeah.
Alex, how'd you feel about this segment?
The segment afterwards is very good. Like when they announced, okay, so here are the two qualifiers for their finals match that's then gonna, you know, go to, you know, Wrestle Dynasty, and it was Hayter versus Aminata and Willow versus Serena. My joke that I said last night on the show reviewing Raw was, I like to preemptively congratulate Jamie Hayter and Willow Nada again on winning those matches, because Serena Deeb is not in a position to beat Willow Nightingale, and Aminata, although as soon as that match was announced, I was like, that's going to be a hard-hitting whole bunch of fun. I knew for a fact that Aminata wasn't winning it. So there's something to be said for keeping four women hot enough that you can say, I honestly don't know who's winning these things. This could be great. And they and at this point, that's not quite there. I can't wait for the day when I see Aminata versus Jamie Hayter, and I honestly don't know that Aminata is definitely taking the pinfall, even though she's going to have a great match, because I think Aminata is absolutely a future multi-time world women's champion. But right now, you know, she gets these fits and starts where she always looks great, but then she just fades in the booking of her. So this was excellent. And to me, again, Willow Nightingale probably almost certainly beats Serena. And then in Willow versus Jamie Hayter, that's probably where Julia Hart actually shows up and winds up costing Jamie Hayter the match. So we will see where all that goes. But all the matches should be great. I just wish there was a little bit more parity among the women at the top so that it wouldn't feel so foregone conclusion-y to me. But the match was excellent.
N. Simmons says, really enjoyed the Ricochet match, but the ending was not it, and it sucked the life out of the crowd who clearly thought Ricochet was winning. Hope it's still Ricochet Osprey in the semi. Yeah, it definitely did cause some issues with the crowd, N. Simmons. I agree. I think that did harm a few other things on the show, but that was something I saw somebody online saying, like, oh, the crowd is bad, and I was like, well, they weren't until that finish. I feel like that finish really took them out.
Yeah.
Ron Ford says, I like the women's international tournament. Wish they had announced it tonight, done both matches next week. Laurent, you don't have to send a super chat, because I see you here in the chat. why do you wish that it was done that way? Because I'm interested to learn, because I'm fine with it being today, but I would like your perspective, but you don't have to send in a super chat since I'm asking you. Tom says, the lack of women's matches in AEW lately has me wildly sour. While they're getting promos, there haven't been two matches on Dynamite since. When? Well, there should. I mean, listen, I don't have an answer as to why they won't do two matches. It's very unusual. But I will continue to say, I think they're doing way better at building underneath programs and talent and having them ready all across the card than they used to. And I think that goes such a long way. Such a long way. Alex, any other thoughts on this?
I know we both said it when Mercedes came in and they were like, we're going to put the title on her as soon as we can. And we both agreed. Well, when you have Mercedes there, now it's a thing where you can't keep one of the two women's champions off TV. You can't do stuff for them on Rampage. They've got to be presented as top things. Because that was Toni Storm at the time, but I think Mariah May certainly has the potential to be looked at as a top woman in the world, because I think she is. And you have all of these extra little underneath feuds percolating, but sometimes there's like a week or two between perks. But it's like okay, well, if you're gonna brew coffee that slowly, it's not gonna be ready for like 6 months. We got to figure out a way to like keep them on TV wrestling, even if it's a shorter match, to build something for a different feud. But two matches on Dynamite, I think, should be the norm, not the exception, with very few and far between.
Luis lets me know that MXM Connection or Collection and Johnny TV take on Private Party and Mystico on Collision. That's a hell of a match.
That'll be fun.
We got a Humper Chat saying one more thing. Shout out to Jimmy Van, bought his book. Looking forward to soaking up the knowledge. I have it right over there. It is the Storytelling Businessman. I'll switch over to the Hump brand over here.
Okay.
Just so I can show you guys his little overlay he had set up here. Look at this.
Oh, look at this.
The Storytelling Salesman. At storysalesman.com/shop or shop.fightful.com. I am working on getting additional merch items up on shop.fightful.com. It's been a while. It is coming up very soon. Well, you know what? You could be Jimmy Van for the next.
Okay, sounds good.
Next segment. And please pay me more. But it is legitimately a really good book. So for those that don't know, like, I wouldn't say Jimmy plucked me out of obscurity. I worked for the largest wrestling news website on the planet. But when that website said, yeah, I know that you just asked to make 18 grand a year, but we're not doing it. Right. I took an interview with Jimmy and we came to an agreement and he looked at me and he said, this is not in danger of dying. Do what you have to do to make this as big as you can. And he has supported the two of us ever since.
Yeah,
he ain't ever wavered on that or anything when we were losing all kinds of money before we made money. Mm-hmm. And he became very well off starting as a wrestling writer full time, which is insane. It is so wild. And he's got a lot of great stories in that. I encourage you guys to check that out. It is a fantastic book. Very blunt, very honest, but also very good. Brody King defeated Darby Allin. I think Darby Allin, like in the spring, and maybe even Double or Nothing, might end up being that guy that takes the AEW title. But for now, they're whooping that ass because that man's going to go climb Mount Everest, Alex.
Right. Yeah. I think so. I think so at this point. Yeah.
I think that's what they're doing here. B. Richmond says this episode was made by Alex. I'm sure of it. Mm. Caster got his ass whooped. Brody beat Darby. Hallelujah.
I mean, I if it was made by me, I would have shaved a good 6-7 minutes off of that Jericho match. But
for sure.
Darby chose to ram a car at a high rate of speed into a parked pickup truck. That was a choice he made. So of course he comes in bandaged up, ribs taped like DDP. He's, you know, he's got a knot on his head like Jean-Claude Van Damme. He chose to do that going into this. The thing that I didn't love about when they announced he was going to be in the C2 was that he found out that Claudio was going to be in it and then asked to be in it so he could get his revenge on Claudio. Now, I don't disagree necessarily with him asking. I disagree wholeheartedly with Tony Khan saying, yeah, sure. If that's the only reason why you want to be in it, yes, I agree with you getting your revenge on this one guy who kicked your ass in a match fairly, I might add. Because who is the dude who was going to be in it before Darby found out that Claudio was going to be in it? Like, was like Anthony Bowens was sitting there licking his chops. Finally, I get in that C2. And like, honestly, Anthony, how about next year? Because Darby really wants to beat up Claudio. So it didn't make a lot of sense storyline-wise for why he would be in it. Him in there having these kinds of matches with Brody, getting his ass absolutely beat, is very good. I don't want to see him wind up sneaking in to like, oh, he ends up being the runner-up in the Gold League, and then somehow he beats the winner of the Blue League via whatever, and then ends up in the finals. Like, the story for him is, I came into this thing to get revenge on one dude, and if he somehow beats Claudio, that's what he wants for the whole tournament, is to beat Claudio. And if he does that and keeps Claudio from being in the semis, then that's the story I think that needs to be told. But I don't need to see him get a whole bunch of victories here. And I'm glad that Brody won, because when Claudio shows up to further beat the hell out of Darby, and then Brody gets back into the ring, wraps his hand in, because Darby got some respect from Brody in their match earlier. So they immediately announce, by the way, this thing right now, when there's a standoff between these two dudes, that's the match happening next week. That is the way that you build the C2. You get some storyline stuff brought into it, and then people will want to tune in and watch, because that Claudio and Brody thing, to me, I think that's got draw written all over it. I would love to see a lot more draws this year than there were last year, particularly with this whole the runner-up of the gold faces the winner of the blue. I don't want to see anybody run the table. I mean, I could see Okada not losing, but I would love to see him get like a like versus Shelton. Okada versus Shelton, they go the full 20 and nobody can beat each other. That kind of respect thing between the two of them. That would be nice.
But guys, thank you all so much for being here. If you haven't already, check us out on Blue Sky. A bunch of us are over there, and it's a nice time over there. I do want to say there was a Humper chat from TJ that said, Alex, what match would you remove in order to make room for another women's match?
I mean, I think that if it's me, I don't think you need at that long of a promo from MVP to before that match starts. I think that the Jericho and Ishii, to me, felt very long. At only 13 minutes, it was still the longest match on the card, but still felt too long. I just feel like there's ways to shuffle everything around, remove a minute from this match, 2 minutes from that match, and excise maybe a vignette or two. And then all of a sudden you have four and a half minutes to give to something that is, a glorified squash, but it helps build up a different storyline. I would like to see that more often. That's all. That's just me.
In Simmons says, funny thing about this Kyle Cole story is before the injury, Kyle and Cole were on the same page beating up the Elite. Yeah. The story makes no sense. Yes, I feel
really bad for Adam Cole, because everybody was in on him, and then he had to leave with a concussion. Like that, the way the concussion he took at that Full Gear match, like that still haunts me to watch how he had to react to that, because he was gone. And then he was out for so long with the complications of that concussion. He gets back. He's in a main event story with Max, And then his ankle shatters into a million pieces. And that takes a lot longer than you would hope for him. So finally he's back and he's healthy and he's willing to get into a thing and nobody is down for this stuff that he's trying to do. But I think we still love Adam Cole, the dude. It's just that this particular thing, we want him to move past it, and they're not willing to do that right now. The story needs to be told according to them. And so I feel bad for him because we want to root for Adam Cole because he had all that bad stuff happen to him. But this isn't it.
It's a mess, and I feel like there needs to be like a sit-down catch-all. I'm tired of seeing these adults work their problems out.
Yeah.
With a microphone in front of an audience. Like, it's something that I've long complained about. Like, how it's like weenie behavior to be like, I am a 30-something year old man. Allow me to go out on this elevated stage in front of this crowd that came to watch wrestling and complain about a guy. Mm-hmm. Have somebody prompt them. Do Undisputed Era did some of their best work in like those vignettes.
Yeah.
And it really showed their personalities. And that's what I wish we could see more of.
Yeah.
Big thank you to Luis. Guys, tune in on not just every day, but by God, we have Andrew Zarian killing it on Tuesday mornings. We got the ROH TNA post show, all that good stuff every Thursday. Don't know if they're doing anything tomorrow. Probably not. It's Thanksgiving. But the Friday SmackDown show with Kate, Saturday Survivor Series post show, the Sour Graps post show, as well as Grapsity earlier that day. But Alex, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me at Alex Sour Graps, more on Blue Sky now than anywhere else. But that's the same guy as you would find over on what used to be the Twitter. There will be no post show for Sour Graps behind the paywall. Rampage has been moved to Saturday. So there's no watch along.
Well, I'm under the impression you never watch AEW or criticize it. So what's that matter?
And that's true. Because I'm going, the family's going to get a little getaway
for
Thanksgiving. So I'll be out at a hotel. Won't be doing that thing on Friday night, but we'll be doing definitely the post show on Saturday for Survivor Series. And I'm going to see if I can drag Kate to a collision review Sunday night. So we can finally get, because everyone in the SGS loves the collision reviews where I lose my mind over math. And so we'll see if we can get one of those happening this weekend.
All right, guys. Thank you all so much. Steve Macklin interview tomorrow. Until next time, we're out.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.